الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، we continue reading in the work of our Sheikh, Sheikh عبد المحسن ابن حمد العباد البدر حفظه الله تعالى, in his work تفسير الناسك بأحكام المناسك على ضوء الكتاب والسنة والمأثور عن الصحابة رضي الله عنهم. He mentioned حفظه الله تعالى فضل الحج والعمرة. فضل الحج والعمرة, the virtues of الحج and العمرة. He mentioned حفظه الله ثبت عن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم في فضل الحج والعمرة أحاديث منها. With regards to the virtue of al-hajj and umrah, a number of narrations have been established and affirmed authentically, reported authentically from the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from them. Number one, qawluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the statement of the prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-umratu ila al-umrah كفارة لما بينهما والحج المبرور والحج المبرور ليس له جزاء إلا الجنة رواه البخاري ومسلم من حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه. And from them, from the narrations, the first one is the statement of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that performing one umrah to the next, يعني in a consecutive manner. We'll discuss what this means بإذن الله تعالى. One umrah to the next, العمرة إلى العمرة, from one umrah to the next, is an expiation for that which occurred between the two of them. العمرة إلى العمرة كفارة لما بينهما, that when one performs one umrah after another umrah, or from one umrah to another umrah, this is an expiation for that which occurred between the two of them. This is an expiation for that which occurred between the two of them. والحج المبرور ليس له جزاء إلا الجنة. And as for الحج, the pilgrimage that is considered مبرور, that is considered righteous and good and accepted, has the status of البر, then there is no recompense for that except for paradise. There's no reward or recompense for that except for paradise. It's narrated by al-Bukhari and Muslim from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu. Some of the details of these narrations will come insha'Allah ta'ala. The second narration that the author, he mentioned, hafidhuhullah wa qawluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tabi'u bayna al-hajj wal-umrah. Tabi'u bayna al-hajj wal-umrah. Make the hajj and the umrah back to back. And he make them repetitively, often, one after another. فإنهما ينفياني الفقر والذنوب كما ينفي الكير خبث الحديد والذهب والفضة وليس للحجة المبرورة ثواب إلا الجنة. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that you should make the Hajj and the Umrah consecutively, back to back. The details again of this will come inshallah, to follow them up. You need to make one and then follow that up and make another. They follow that up and make another. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the wisdom for this, فَإِنَّهُمَا يَنْفِيَانِ الْفَقْرِ وَالذَّنُوبِ, because the performance of the Hajj and the Umrah, of course, in the manner that is proper and legislative and pleasing to Allah, the manner that is proper and legislated and pleasing to Allah, whenever these actions of worship are performed correctly, فَإِنَّهُمَا يَنْفِيَانِ الْفَقْرِ والذنوب, because indeed they will remove poverty and sins. They remove poverty and sins كما ينفي الكير خبث الحديد والذهب والفضة, just as the bellows remove the filth from the iron, any of the impurities from the iron and the gold and the silver, and the gold and the silver. وليس للحجة المبرورة ثواب إلا الجنة. And as for the حج المبرور, there's no recompense or any reward for that except for paradise, except for al-Jannah. رواه الترمذي وابن خزيمة في صحيحه والنسائي من حديث ابن مسعود is narrated by الترمذي and also ابن خزيمة in his authentic collection as well as النسائي from the hadith of ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه وإسناده عندهم حسن and the chain with regards to them is considered حسن and good meaning the narration is authentic ورواه النسائي بإسناد صحيح من حديث ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما وليس فيه والذهب والفضة والجملة الأخيرة and also it has been narrated by النسائي with the chain that is authentic from the narration of ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما but in this wording it's not mentioned the gold and the silver and in the last sentence so here the prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is ordering for the believers to make the hajj and umrah often you need to follow them up to make hajj and then the next year make it again and to make umrah and then after that to make it again and after that to make it again any what is intended by following up hajj after hajj any from year one year to the next from one year to the next because hajj can only be performed once in a year and what is intended from performing the umrah back to back meaning in different journeys not in the same journey a person if he travels to make umrah then if he travels again and comes back to Mecca on another journey then he will make umrah again in this manner and what is not intended is to travel to Mecca and to make umrah and then to stay in Mecca and just go outside the outskirts of the haram to at-Tan'im and the likes like this and come back again and make umrah time after time on the same journey while never leaving Mecca. This has not been narrated from any of the Salaf that this was something that they did or that they preferred or that they encouraged or that they encouraged. So what is intended, umrah, to make umrah after umrah, to follow up the umrah with another umrah, meaning that when he would travel to make umrah, and then if he travels again, even if he's on the same original journey, for example, he will travel to Mecca to make umrah, and then after that, he would travel to Al-Madinah to visit the Prophet's Masjid, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is a travel and a journey. And then in this travel and journey, he leaves the Muwaqit. He leaves outside of the Muwaqit. And then he's going to return back from Al-Madinah, crossing the Miqat of the people of Medina, traveling back to Mecca. Now this is allowed for him. Alhamdulillah. This is allowed for him. Alhamdulillah. So maybe someone, he will make a journey to the sacred lands. And he will spend 2 weeks there, for example. And he will begin by making Umrah in Mecca. And then he will spend several days there and then go to Medina and spend several days or a week there, for example. And then he will come back to Mecca. He will come back to Mecca from Medina. Then if he did this, then it's allowed for him to come with another Umrah and the same initial journey because he has traveled outside of Mecca and outside of the Muwaqit, and he is coming on a new journey back to Mecca. So this is encouraged to repeat any time after time, making the Hajj and likewise the Umrah and the wisdom behind that. فَإِنَّهُمَا يَنْفِيَانِ الْفَقْرُ وَالذَّنُوبُ Because in performing the sacred rites in this manner, time after time, this is a means to expiate and to remove the sins. These actions of worship, they remove poverty and sins. And again, this is an amazing affair. And it's well known that Hajj and Umrah are there from those actions of worship that are physical and financial. Physical and spiritual and financial. He will worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his heart first and foremost, performing these sacred rites. Likewise with his body and also with his wealth. So a person, if he's going to make Hajj, or he's going to make Umrah, especially the majority of the people like us, for example, in America, it costs money. A person, he must spend money. He must purchase a ticket. He must prepare for journey. He must travel. He must have provision. He must have finances that will be a means to carry him on his way there and on his way back. And the likes like this. So it costs money to perform these rites. But in performing these rites is a means to remove poverty. Is that means to remove poverty. A person, maybe he will spend his wealth for the sake of Allah, and he'll perform these rites properly, seeking the pleasure of Allah, and Allah will bless him in his deen, bless him in his wealth, in his finances, blessing in his worldly life. This is from the means of removing poverty, and likewise the sins. Just as, كَمَا يَنْفِي الْكِيرُ خَبَثَ الْحَدِيدِ والذهب والفضة. Just as the bellows, any the one who is the blacksmith working in the bellows, and they put the iron and they put the gold and the silver in the heat and in the fire and heat it up to a great extent until all of the filth and all of the impurities are gone, and the ore is purified and clean and good and beneficial. In the same manner, the sins, they will be removed, and likewise poverty is removed from a person in the same way. وَلَيْسَ لِلْحَجَّةِ الْمَبْرُورَةِ ثَوَابٌ إِلَّا الْجَنَّةِ وَلَيْسَ لِلْحَجَّةِ الْمَبْرُورَةِ ثَوَابٌ إِلَّا الْجَنَّةِ. And there's no recompense, there's no reward for the hajj, that's considered mabrur, except for paradise. Number three, the author, he mentioned حَفِيظُهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْ عَائِشَةَ أُمِّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا أَنَّهَا قَالَتْ. The narration, he mentions the third narration, which is the narration of Aisha, the mother of the believers, radiyallahu anha, that she said, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nara al-jihad afdal al-amal, afala nujahid. She said, radiyallahu anha, O Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we believe that al-jihad is the most virtuous deed. Afala nujahid, should we not strive and fight in jihad? And he's referring to the women. Should we not? Ala nujahid, yani nahnu an-nisa. Afala nujahid, should we not strive and fight in the path of Allah? And he fight the enemies with the weapons in the path of Allah, indicating that she's aware, like the companions, radiallahu anhum, that this is from the greatest deeds, that a person, he will fight the jihad, the proper jihad and correct manner in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So she said, should we not fight? Qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, no. And you know, you should not fight. No, you women should not fight and go out in the battlefield in the path of Allah for jihad. Then he said, lakunna afdaru al-jihad. Hajjun mabrur. Rather, you women, you have the most virtuous jihad. Hajjun mabrur. And that is the hajj that is considered mabrur, the one that is performed in the most beloved manner to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rawahu al-Bukhari. So this is a clear evidence clarifying the virtue of al-hajj, the virtue of al-hajj, how it's considered the best jihad for the women, and likewise for the weak. But as for the jihad with the sword against the disbelievers and the enemies of al-Islam, the manner that is legislated, and as for the jihad with the pen and with the tongue against the hypocrites and the disbelievers and the people of innovation, then this is much higher in status and rank, But from the high and lofty status, and considered a type of al-jihad, performing the hajj, especially for those who are physically weak, like the women. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, La lakunna afdaru al-jihad. Rather, you women, you have the most virtuous jihad. Yani for you. And it is hajjun mabrur. And that you would perform hajj. Mabrur. Hajj mabrur. Not that you perform hajj, but rather that you perform the hajj that's considered mabrur. That's described with this trait of al-birr, which has the meaning of obedience and submission and surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The author, he says, it's narrated by al-Bukhari. Also, it's been narrated by Ibn Majah, and likewise al-Imam Ahmed from Umm Salamah radiyallahu anha, that she said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, al-hajju jihadu kulli da'if. Hajj, making the pilgrimage to the house of Allah Azza wa Jal, is the jihad of every weak person. What is intended by weak person here is people who are physically weak. Like the women and like the elders and like the sick. Like the women and like the elders and like those who are sick or those who have ailments in their bodies. In their lives like this, they have a weakness and it's difficult for them physically. Then this is a type of jihad from them, rather the best jihad. Al-hajju jihadu kulli da'if. It's considered a jihad for them. The one who is sick, the one who is blind, the one who is handicapped, the one who is crippled, the one who is weak, the female, and the likes. These people, their means of performing jihad is to perform hajj. For them, performing the hajj is a type of jihad. Rather, in this narration, considered from the most virtuous aspects of jihad. The author, حفظه الله تعالى, he mentions some benefits now from the explanation of this narration. He says, وذكر الحافظ في الفتح. And الحافظ, he mentioned in his explanation of Sahih Bukhari, which is known as Fath al-Bari. He says, أن الأكثر ضبط لكن بضم الكافي خطاب للنساء. The majority of the people of knowledge, they have mentioned the wording, the harakat, the way to read this word, lakunna with a dhamma on the kaf, and as the khitab lil-nisa, and he's addressing the women, because it could be read in more than one way. You can say lakunna, that you women, you have, or with the kasras, walakinna, which means but. But, yani as an istidrak, how for istidrak, walakinna. So it's read like this, walakinna. Yani afala nujahid, qala la, walakunna afdal jihad. And it's also read, afala nujahid, qala la, walakinna afdal al jihad. Walakinna afdal jihad, al hajjun mabrur. So it could be read in both ways. It could be read to mean, should we not strive and fight in the path of Allah? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, no. But for you women is the most virtuous jihad, and that is Hajjun Mabrur. The other wording, it means no, but rather the most virtuous jihad is Hajjun Mabrur. No, walakinna afdala al-jihad Hajjun Mabrur. This is a different reading, and it has a different meaning. So the Shaykh is mentioning some benefits from Fath al-Bari, from Ibn Hajar, rahimahullah ta'ala, mentioning that the majority of the people of knowledge who have transmitted the transcripts of Sahih Bukhari and the wording of this narration, they have mentioned that the kaf, it has a dhamma on it. And therefore, this kaf is kaf al-khitab lil-nisa, addressing the women. Lakunna afdalu jihad, hajjun mabrur. You women, you have the most virtuous jihad, meaning that this is the most virtuous jihad for women. And this is supported by the narration that I mentioned likewise, al-hajju jihadu kulli da'if. So this is what he's referring to here. وَأَنَّهُ رُوِيَ بِكَسْرِ الْكَافِ وَزِيَادَةِ أَلِفٍ قَبْلَهَا لِلِاسْتِدْرَاكِ. And also it has been narrated with the kasr, with the kasra on the kaf, and an extra alif before that, yani for istidrak, yani to refer to the issue that I mentioned. So he says, وَقَالَ, and then Ibn Hajar, he said, rahimahullah, وَالْأَوَّلُ أَكْثَرُ فَائِدَةً لِأَنَّهُ يَشْتَمِلُ عَلَى إِثْبَاتِ فَضْلِ الْحَجِّ وَعَلَى جَوَابِ سُؤَالِهَا عَنِ الْجِهَادِ. The first manner of writing the harakat and reading this particular word is better, and it has more benefit. The first way of writing the harakat and reading this word has more benefit, because it consists of affirming the virtue of Hajj and likewise the response to her question about al-jihad. وَيُقَوِّي مَا قَالَهُ الْحَافِظُ أَيْضًا أَنَّهُ قَدْ يُفْهَمُ مِنْ رِوَايَةِ لَفْظِ الْإِسْتِدْرَاكِ أَنَّ الْحَجَّ أَفْضَلُ مِنَ الْجِهَادِ. That which strengthens the position that al-Hafiz is mentioning also is that it could be understood from the reading with al-Istidrak, meaning ولكن أفضل الجهاد, but rather the most virtuous jihad, حج مبور. It could be understood from this that Hajj is more virtuous than jihad. وهو خلاف ما جاء مبينا في حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه الآتي بعد هذا الحديث. And that's contrary to what has become and been clarified in the narration of Abi Hurairah رضي الله عنه that is coming after this narration. So there's two wordings here, and they have two different meanings. وَلَكُنَّ أَفْضَلُ الْجِهَادِ, rather for you women is the most virtuous jihad, حَجٌّ مَبْرُورٌ. Or the other meaning is وَلَكِنَّ أَفْضَلُ الْجِهَادِ, or but rather the most virtuous jihad, حَجٌّ مَبْرُورٌ. So Al-Hafidh is mentioning here, and the Shaykh حَفِظُهُ اللَّهُ is affirming what he's mentioning, that the better reading and understanding of this would be that it's specific for the women, that Hajj Mabrur is the most virtuous jihad, meaning for the women, which is also supported by this narration. But it could be understood also by this narration, both aspects are correct. And that jihad, no doubt jihad is greater and more virtuous than Hajj, and the right of those who are strong, and the right of those who are healthy, and the right of those who have the ability. as for in the right of those who are weak, and as for the in the right of those who are sick or incapable physically, then the most virtuous jihad, or then the Hajj is more virtuous than jihad in their right specifically. In their right specifically. Ala kulli hal, in any circumstance, it's clear here the virtue of Hajj. This is the point of mentioning these narrations and this issue. This is the point of mentioning these narrations and this issue to clarify the virtue of al-Hajj. Al-Hajj al-Mabrur. Wa rawahu ibn Majah wa ibn Khuzaymah fi sahihihi wa lafdhuhu an Aisha umm al-mu'minin qalat qultu ya Rasulullah hal 'ala an-nisa min jihad? Qala 'alayhinna jihadun la qitala fihi al-Hajj wal-Umrah. Al-Hajj wal-Umrah. And the author, he says, and also it's been narrated by Ibn Majah and Ibn Khuzaymah in his authentic collection, and the wording from Aisha, Umm al-Mu'mineen, here is that she said, I said, O Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is jihad an obligation upon the women? Hal ala nisa, hal ala nisa'i min jihad? Is there any aspect of jihad that is an obligation upon the women? قال عليهن جهاد لا قتال فيه. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there is an obligation of jihad upon them that has no fighting in it. There is an obligation of jihad upon them that has no fighting in it. لا قتال فيه. الحج والعمرة. الحج والعمرة. To perform Hajj and to make Umrah. After this, the author, he mentioned Hafidhullah, the fourth narration. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سئل أي العمل أفضل. And he mentioned the narration of Abu Hurairah رضي الله عنه that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he was asked which deed is most virtuous. أي العمل أفضل. What deed is most virtuous? Is most virtuous. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, إيمان بالله. إيمان بالله ورسوله. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, believing in Allah and his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Qila thumma madha? It was said to him after that, and then what? And then what is most virtuous? And meaning after, imanun billahi wa rasulihi, after believing in Allah and his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, thumma madha? Then what? Qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-jihadu fi sabirillah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, fighting and striving in the path of Allah. Qila thumma madha? And then it was said that after that, qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hajjun mabrur. Hajjun mabrur. After that is hajjun mabrur. Hajjun mabrur. And this is in general. So here we see that jihad comes first in virtue, even before hajj mabrur. And Allah knows best, as I mentioned, it could be understood in a proper light, and that is with regards to those who are strong and able. Those who are strong and able. Any jihad is greater and more virtuous than the Hajj Mabrur for those who are strong and able to make jihad. But as for the women, or for the weak, or the elderly, or for the sick and handicapped, they're not able to make jihad, then the Hajj Mabrur is greater even than jihad in their right. Even in their right. And Allah knows best. Some of the people of knowledge have indicated this meaning. After this, the author, he says, حفظه الله تعالى شيخنا الشيخ عبد المحسن عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أنه قال سمعت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول من حج لله فلم يرفث ولم يفسق رجع كيوم ولدته أمه رواه البخاري ومسلم. The author, he mentioned حفظه الله, the narration of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that he said, I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, man hajja lillah, that whoever makes hajj for the sake of Allah, that whoever makes hajj for the sake of Allah, falam yarfuth walam yafsuq raja'a kayama waladatu ummuhu, and he did not make rafith, nor did he make fisq or fusuq, nor did he make fusuq, then he will return like the day that his mother gave birth to him. Then he'll return like the day that his mother gave birth to him. It's narrated by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Al-Imam Muslim, rahimahullah, he mentioned this narration and the first narration. The author, he mentioned them back to back. And he mentioned it, mentioned them together in the same context in his Sahih. And in this particular arrangement. And some of the people of knowledge, they mentioned that it's as if this narration here is an interpretation and clarification of the Hajj Mabrur, وليس والحج المبرور ليس له جزاء إلا الجنة. الحج المبرور ليس له جزاء إلا الجنة. And the Hajj المبرور, there's no recompense for that. There's no reward for that except for paradise. And likewise, the other narration that was mentioned as well. والحجة المبرورة ليس والحجة المبرورة ليس للحجة المبرورة ثواب إلا الجنة. That there's no reward for the Hajj. The Hajj that's مبرورة except for paradise. I mean, this is the recompense for that. So the question now is, what is الحج المبرور? What is الحج المبرور? Here is the interpretation of that. من حج لله, number one. من حج لله. The first one is that it must be sincerity for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla. من حج لله. Whoever made Hajj for the sake of Allah. So Hajj is an action of worship, rather from the greatest actions of worship, rather from the pillars of Al-Islam. Rather from the pillars of Al-Islam, it must be for the sake of Allah. It must be for the sake of Allah. And likewise, the Umrah. Allah, He mentioned in His book, وَأَتِمُّ الْحَجَّ وَالْعُمْرَةَ لِلَّهِ لِمَنْ لِمَنْ وَأَتِمُّ الْحَجَّ وَالْعُمْرَةَ لِلَّهِ And complete the Hajj and the Umrah for the sake of Allah. For the sake of Allah. وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنْ اسْتَطَاعَ عَلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا And it's incumbent obligation upon mankind to perform the Hajj for the sake of Allah. وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ It's incumbent obligation to perform the Hajj to the pilgrimage to the house of Allah, to the sacred house for the sake of Allah. For the sake of Allah, for those who have the ability. The point is now that this action of worship, like every other action of worship, it must be done sincerely and wholeheartedly for the sake of Allah. It must be done sincerely and wholeheartedly for the sake of Allah. We've seen that it's been narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that whenever he's entering into these sacred rites, that he would say, لَبَّيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ حَجَّةً لَا رِيَاءَ فِيهَا وَلَا سُمْعَةً Oh Allah, I am responding to your call, making this Hajj with no showing off in it whatsoever, nor wanting to be heard. Yani actualizing these ayat. وَأَتِمُّ الْحَجَّ وَالْعُمْرَةَ لِلَّهِ وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنْ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا So it must be for the sake of Allah. So the person who, whenever he is on Arafah and he takes a picture of himself, where is لِلَّه in this portion right here? Where's Lillah in this portion right here? Whenever he gets to the Jamarat, takes a picture here. Whenever some of them, they go so far, he'll raise one hand like this and put the other hand like this with a camera, and he's making dua and crying for the camera, crying for, with his hand up like this. One hand, I've seen it recently, and I've seen it before many times. Even you stop people and tell them, Barakallah fiqh, fear Allah Azza wa Jal, fear Allah Azza wa Jal. Worse than that, you see people with their back to the Qibla, with their hands to the grave. With their hands to the grave, turning people around. The Qibla is that way. The Qibla is that way. Subhanallah. But the point is, Lillah, the Hajj is for the sake of Allah. You can't do it. You can't go there and call on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You can't go on there and call on the dead. You can't go on there and show off and take pictures. And if here I am in tawaf, and here I am in cutting my hair, and here I am here, here I am there, taking pictures left and right. Where's Lillah? Wa'atim wal Hajj wal Umrah. لله ولله على الناس حج البيت من استطاع عليه سبيلا من حج لله It is the first thing. This is number one. It must be for the sake of Allah. These pictures, these cameras, these videos, all of this right here, it violates that. Violates that in a great manner. Violates that in a great manner. Even worse than that and more despicable. We mentioned in our previous classes, some of them, they're not even really worshiping. They're not even really worshiping. They just raise their hands to take a picture. Or they just sit in tashahud to take a picture. Or they just grab a mushaf and open it up to take a picture. He's not even really making dua. And if this is not showing off, then what is showing off? If this is not showing off, then showing off does not exist. Does not exist. And no one is showing off in the world. This is the peak of showing off and the peak of lowliness, waliyadu billah, and despicableness and belittlement of the religion. Of the religion, that it means nothing to someone, that he would just get a pen, just raise his hands for a second to take a picture and then lower them, or he just sit in tashahud for a minute and then lower them, or he would get himself in ruku for a second and then stand up and keep it moving. Wa liyadu billah. This is of utmost importance. It must be for the sake of Allah. It must be for the sake of Allah. A person, he must strive against his soul to make the Hajj and the Umrah and every action of worship for the sake of Allah. This is jihad right here. جهاد النفس على إخلاص العمل لله سبحانه وتعالى. To strive against one's soul, to purify the intention, to make the action sincerely and purely for the sake of Allah alone, not for anything from the worldly life. Not from anything from the worldly life. This is number one. What are we discussing? الحج المبرور ليس له جزاء إلا الجنة. That الحج المبرور has no recompense except for paradise. What is the description of that first and foremost? من حج لله. The one who makes the Hajj, the pilgrimage, for the sake of Allah alone. فَلَمْ يَرْفُثْ وَلَمْ يَفْسُقْ فَلَمْ يَرْفُثْ وَلَمْ يَفْسُقْ. And he didn't make rafith and he didn't make fusuq. He didn't make rafith and he didn't make fusuq. This word rafith is one of those words that has a number of meanings. And from the original meanings, al-jima'. Al-jima' wa ta'ridu lahu bil-kalam. To al-jima' any sexual intercourse and to refer to that in speech. To speak about any sexual intercourse and referencing to that in one speech. This is from the meanings of ar-rafith. This is from the meanings of ar-rafith. And it has another general meaning which is referring to all of the despicable and lowly type of speech. So it could be referring specifically to sexual intercourse or likewise to speech that is referring to that. And it could be in reference in general to all of the lowly and the vain or vulgar type of speech. So a number of the people of knowledge, they mentioned what is intended here, like in the verse, Al-Hajju ashhuru ma'lumat, faman farada fihinna al-hajja fala rafatha, wala fusuqa, wala jidala fil hajj. This is also a clarification of the issue that we're discussing, any of this ayah here. Clarifying the description of al-hajj al-mabrur, the one who is going to make that type of hajj, the one who hopes to make that type of hajj, he must refrain from these affairs. He must refrain from showing off or making shirk in any manner whatsoever. In any manner whatsoever, he must make the intention purely and sincerely for the sake of Allah. فَلَا رَفَثَ فَلَا رَفَثَ. This is in the ayah. And in the hadith, فَلَمْ يَرْفُثْ فَلَمْ يَرْفُثْ. Yani he did not have sexual intercourse while in the state of ihram, because this is forbidden. This is forbidden. This is the specific meaning. And this is an indication that the person who's going to make the hajj that is considered mabrur, he must refrain from all of the things that are forbidden and impermissible because of the ihram. They're called mahdhurat al-ihram. The affairs that once a person enters into the state of ihram, they became impermissible for him. Initially, they're allowed and permissible, but in that sacred state, performing those sacred rites, it's not permissible. He must avoid these affairs from the greatest of them and the most severe of them, and the one that has the sternest outcome and expiation is sexual intercourse. So a person, he must refrain from this, an indication to all of the mahdhurat. So before the hajj is considered mabrur, a person, he must avoid mahdhurat al-ihram. He must avoid those affairs that are impermissible because of the state of al-ihram. Because of the state of al-ihram. وَلَمْ يَفْسُقْ فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُوقَ. And also, لَا فُسُوقْ. No corruption. And no sin. No sin. He should not do anything that would cause him to be considered a fasiq. Meaning he should not perpetrate any major sin. Nor should he persist upon minor sin. Because a person, he'll be considered fasiq, yani yafsuq bihada wa hada, bi'tikab al-kabira aw bi'israri ala al-saghira, either by perpetrating a major sin and not repenting from that, or by persisting upon minor sin. In this manner, a person is described as being fasiq. So for the hajj to be mabrur, he must also avoid the major sins, as well as avoid continuing and persisting upon minor sin. And from the requirements likewise is that a person, he must have a pure heart and intention. And it's not sufficient to intend to avoid major sin while on the journey for Hajj, with the intention to return back to sin whenever one returns to his home. Some of them, they have this intention. They will stop fornication, for example, and they have the intention to not fornicate or to not speak to this impermissible person, or to not have this impermissible relationship, for example, because they're going on Hajj, or they're going to not drink alcohol, or they're not going to smoke weed, for example, and the likes like these affairs. They tell themselves they're not going to do these affairs, and so long as they're on the journey. But in their heart, whenever they return from Hajj, they're going to call that person. They're going to contact that person. They're going to be with that person. They're going to smoke that affair. They're going to drink that drink. They have the intention in their heart to return back to those sins whenever they get home. Whenever they get home, this person, his hajj is not mabrur. And he is not avoiding fisk. Rather, this intention, it must be purified. He must have the intention to leave all sins, and to refrain from them and leave them in entirety. And he must do that likewise and avoid them while on the journey with the intention to leave them entirety and not to return to them. So the point is that the person who has left sin for his journey, but he has the intention to return to those sins whenever he finishes his rites, then this one, he has not performed the rites properly and his hajj is not considered mabrur. So some of the people of Nar, as they have mentioned, the meaning of the hajj al-mabrur, hajj al-maqbool, the one that is accepted. But Allah knows best, maybe the hajj could be accepted from some people, but it's still not considered mabrur. This is the type of hajj that has a reward higher and a level higher. So not everyone who makes the hajj returns with all of his sins forgiven. And not everyone who makes the hajj returns with a pure soul. And not everyone who makes the hajj is guaranteed to enter paradise. But because some people, they make hajj and their hajj is deficient, although they would not be required to perform it again. And it could be considered accepted in a general sense, but it hasn't reached that high level and status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to where it's heavy in the scale and the manner that the recompense for that is nothing but paradise. It's nothing but paradise. So this is something to keep in mind. A believer, he must make hajj and umrah for the sake of Allah and every action of worship. And likewise, he must avoid vulgarness and these foul affairs. In hajj and umrah specifically, he must avoid mahdurat al-ihram. And there's details with regards to these affairs that the author, he would touch on some of them. He would touch on them briefly. Inshallah, we take them. And likewise, a person, he must refrain from sin. The one who does this in this manner, رَجَعَكَ يَوْمَ وَلَدَتُ أُمُّهُ. From the sin that one, he must refrain from likewise, وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ. And he should not make jidal, arguing and debating and quarreling with the people without right. And this is an indication that he must, as has preceded, be in good company and himself be good company and not harm the believers while he's on the journey making these sacred rites. That he should not harm the people. If he harms them with his tongue and harms them with his manners, or harms them by debating and arguing with them and raising his voice and yelling at them and the likes like this, all of this is going to be considered a type of deficiency and shortcoming and problems with regards to his sacred rites, causing the value of that to decrease and the reward of that to be deficient. So it has been mentioned a number of affairs about the meaning of the hajj al-mabrur. And from that, is that it's the one that is accepted. Other than that, it's the one that has no showing off in it and not wanting to be heard. And it has no rafith. It has no fusuq. It has nothing but good speech. And likewise, the people of Nadas have mentioned that the hajj al-mabrur it'am al-ta'am wa husn as-suhba, to that a person, he will feed others. He's on the journey. While he's on that journey performing those rites, he's feeding others. And likewise, he is himself good company. Not in good company, he himself is good company, meaning he's not harming others. It's been narrated by Thawr ibn Yazid. This is mentioned by Ibn Abd al-Barr in his work, Al-Istithkar, that he said, "Man amma hadha al-bayt wa lam yakun fihi thalathu khisal lam yaslam lahu hajjuhu." Whoever intends to come to the house of Allah Azza wa Jalla to perform those sacred rites, and he does not have three traits, then his hajj will not be safe. And then his hajj will not be safe, yani from defect or from blame, from deficiency or from blame. فَلَمْ يَسْلَمْ لَهُ حَجُّهُ. He said, number one, مَنْ لَمْ يُكُنْ لَهُ حِلْمٌ يَبْبِطُ بِهِ جَهْلَهُ. The one who does not have forbearance, he's able to control his ignorance. Able by way of to control his ignorance, and he's not acting out of character. He's able to control himself. When people act crazy and act out of character, he does not come out of character. He has forbearance. He's able to check himself with, check his tongue with, refrain his hand with. When people push, he doesn't push. When people scream, he doesn't scream. When people yell and they have a frown, he smiles and he's patient. For the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, he has forbearance. He's able to control himself with, for the sake of Allah. And this is number one. This is very important and very beneficial for anyone who's ever been to Mecca. You have to have hilm. Or else you're going to violate rights and you're going to come out of your character and you're going to do things that you regret and that are going to violate these rights and your right. violate these rights, and you're right. وَلِيَذَ بِاللَّهِ. And then he said, رَحِيمَهُ اللَّهُ وَوَرَعٌ عَمَّا حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. And he must also have piety that will carry him to avoid and stay away from everything that Allah has forbidden him from. وَحُسْنُ السُّحْبَةِ لِمَنْ صَحِبَهُ. And that he would have a good companionship for whomever he accompanies. And he himself will be a good companion. Some people on journeys, they're good companions, and their company is beneficial and good. And the fact that they're there is light and easy and a great benefit. And others, their companionship is heavy and a problem and a trouble. And they complain and they argue and they worry and they're never happy. And it's hard to satisfy them and nothing's right and nothing's good. And the fact that they're there is a big heavy burden. It's a big, heavy burden. So a person, he would not want to be like that in general, especially not on a journey, especially not on a journey to perform these sacred rites. Rather, he would be somebody that's easy to get along with, easy to speak with, easy to deal with, somebody who doesn't always have to have their way, somebody who's satisfied with little. Alhamdulillah, if you get more, that's great. Allahu Akbar. But if not, if they don't have the food I want, if the food is cold, if they, so on and so forth, some people, they can't handle that. Some people, they can't handle that, and if the food is cold, they flip out and they throw it down and they can't take it anymore, or they complain, or they ask for more, they want their money back, so on and so forth. All of this is a problem from having bad manners and having little patience and forbearance and dealing with these affairs and being haughty and being arrogant and being used to living a life of luxury, a life of luxury and belittling others. You be lighthearted, you be easy, easy to get along with, easy to deal with, easy to bark with. Allah, He loves the one who is easy. Easy with the people, easy to deal with, easy to get along with. Somebody who suffices, he's content with little. If he gets a lot, alhamdulillah, he's thankful. But he's content with little. A little bit will satisfy him and make him happy. If he gets a lot, he's very thankful and grateful, alhamdulillah. But if he doesn't get everything he needs or everything he desires, it's not going to cause him to have a bad day. Some people, if they don't get their way every time, then they're bad. They have a problem and they have a problem the rest of the day. And they're sad the rest of the day. And they want people to feel pity for them the rest of the day. And have sympathy on them the rest of the day. And I like to say this, and this is a pathetic way. This is a pathetic way. A believer, he believes in the decree of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and he accepts the good of that and the bad of that. The sweet of that and the mur of that. This is the al-hullu wal-mur. The sweet and the bitter. And he takes it and with faith. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. And he submits to the will of Allah. So this is all from the means of having a hajj that's considered mabrur, that is sincere, that is done according to the sunnah, that a person, he avoids the sins, that he avoids any from the greatest things that a person becomes a fasik by way of is bid'ah. It's bid'ah from the first things that will cause a person to leave this realm of sunnah and of obedience and considered good and salih and righteous, is that he will fall into innovation. And from the greatest means of falling into innovation is just following the people and being ignorant with one's religion and not knowing the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nor the ways of the Sahaba and the Tabi'een and the Atba' Tabi'een radiyallahu anhum. So the Hajj, for one to have this reward, to return as the day that his mother gave birth to him, and the reward that is nothing except for paradise, the recompense that is nothing except for paradise, then this one has specific qualities and traits that one, he must strive to learn about and then to fulfill on his journey. On his journey. Number six, the author, he says, Hafidhullah, qawluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam li Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhu, the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhu, amma alimta ya Amr, أن الإسلام يهدم ما كان قبله وأن الهجرة تهدم ما كان قبلها وأن الحج يهدم ما كان قبله رواه مسلم. That the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said to Amr ibn al-As رضي الله عنه, did you not know, O Amr, and this is the story behind this, and this is whenever Amr, he accepted Islam رضي الله عنه, and before he pledged the allegiance to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he asked about his sins, but will my sins be forgiven? What will my sins be forgiven? And he's worried about this affair, realizing these great sins that he has. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Did you not know, O Amr, that Islam removes everything that happened before that, and that making hijrah removes everything that happened before that, and that performing hajj removes everything that happened before that? And he wipes out the sins entirely, wipes out the sins entirely." So this narration is narrated by Muslim. The point is, barakallahu fikum, to see the virtue of hajj. and the virtue of Umrah. And the believer who hears the likes of these narrations, he can't help except for yearn and wish that he'll be able to make Hajj this year and next year and next year, and yearn and wish and hope that he'll be able to make Umrah soon, sooner than later. And because these are great virtues and great benefits, and the one who performs in this manner, he returns home as pure as the day he was born, and he's guaranteed and promised the paradise, and his life will be better and more fruitful and more beneficial for him. Who would not want that for themselves and their family and their brothers? So the Shaykh, he mentioned, Hafidhullah, والحج المبرور هو الذي يأتي به المسلم وفقا لسنة الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. And the Hajj that's considered al-mabrur, this is the one that the Muslim performs according to the Sunnah of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. Not hopes and whims, not hopes and whims, not customs and cultures, not just following the people, not just saying, not putting somebody in front of you that you like and letting him read a book like this and you say what he says behind him and the likes, like some of them they do. Some of them they do. Whenever he makes a mistake, you make a mistake with him. Whenever he recites wrong, you recite wrong with him, and you just say what the people say. These things, Allahumma istahad, Hajj is greater than this, barakallahu feekum. Hajj is greater than this, barakallahu. To reach this level where you return with no sins and where there's no reward or recompense for you from your Lord except paradise, then it has to be performed in a good manner, and you have to make great effort. It's not something that's free or something that's easy. It's not something that's free or something that's easy. It's easy for those whom Allah makes it easy for. But the point is, barakallahu fikum, that it requires effort. It requires effort against oneself, one's soul, one's intention, one's heart, one's mind, one's body, one's wealth, all of these affairs. A person, he must strive to perform it in the manner pleasing to Allah. So the one that is considered mabrur, the Shaykh, he mentioned, hafidhullah, this is the one that's in accordance to the sunnah of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, li hadithi Jabir. And this is because of the hadith. This is based upon the hadith of Jabir, radiyallahu anhu, anna Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, qal, that the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, li ta'khudhu manasikakum, fa inni la adri la'alli la ahujja ba'da Hajjati hadhihi, because of the narration of Jabir that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that you must take your sacred rites of performing Hajj and Umrah from me. لِتَأْخُذُوا مَنَاسِكَكُمْ, and some word is لِتَأْخُذُوا عَنِّي, so that you may learn these sacred rites from me, because I do not know if I will be able to make Hajj after this Hajj of mine. وَرَوَاهُ مُسْلِمٌ, and it's narrated by Muslim. And then he says, so this is the first point the Shaykh is mentioning, hafidhullah, that it must be in accordance to the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma'a al-bu'adi and al-rafithi wal-fusuk, along with being far away from rafith wal-fusuk. We have seen what rafith is. Rafith is referring to all of the is specifically sexual intercourse, yani meaning referring to those things that are forbidden and prohibited while in the state of ihram. And fusuk is referring to major sin. And likewise, persisting upon minor sin or performing anything that would cause a person to be considered fasiq, yani considered rebellious and disobedient, and rejecting to comply to the command of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَإِمْتِنَاعَ عَمَّا مُنِعَ الْمُحْرِمُ مِنْ فِعْلِهِ, and he also must avoid and stay away from everything that the muhrim has been forbidden from. Then he mentions hafidhullah. وَعَلَامَةُ كَوْنِ الْحَجِّ مَبْرُورًا أَنْ يَتَحَوَّلَ الْمُسْلِمُ بَعْدَ حَجِّهِ مِنَ الْحَسَنِ إِلَى الْأَحْسَنِ, and the sign that the person's Hajj is mabrur is that the Muslim, he will change after his Hajj from being good to better, from being good to better. وَمِنَ السَّيِّئِ إِلَى الْحَسَنِ, and from being bad to good, from being bad to good. So the people here are in two categories. There are those who before they perform Hajj, they're in a good state themselves, alhamdulillah. And they know that favor from Allah. I mean, he's striving to be obedient, along with the deficiencies that they have. But there are people who strive against their soul to avoid the major sins. People who strive against their soul to establish the obligations and the rights of al-Islam. This is what they're upon before Hajj. The sign that their Hajj is mabrur is that whenever they return from Hajj, they're better than that. They're better than that than they were before. They're more firm. They're more strong. They're more encouraged. They have more energy to obey Allah and to work in the path of Allah and the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal. They're more firm. They're more strong. Their faith is greater than it was before. And their actions of obedience are more strong and firm. And their soul is light. And they feel good and ready to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even greater, even more than than they were before they left. This is the sign that it was accepted and it's considered mabrur. The other case is that a person, he himself, he'll be in a bad state before Hajj. And he will be someone who is struggling with sins. And he knows that from himself. But after he returns back from Hajj, those things are gone from his life. Those things are gone from his life. He doesn't return back to those sins. He doesn't return back to the way that he was upon before. Rather, he left those ways. Whatever sins he was upon before he left for that journey, whenever he comes home, he does not fall into them again. It's like he has a new life. Raja'aka yawma waladatu ummuhu. He returned like the day his mother gave him birth. He doesn't go back to those affairs. He doesn't go back to those affairs. Allahu Akbar, look how great this action of worship is. You can come home and not be tried by sins. And you will submit to your Lord and not to your whims. You will submit to your Lord and not to your whims. The people who fall into sin and they're tried with sins, waliyadhu billah, they are slaves to the devil and to their desires. And they're captivated by their whims and they can't break free. Waliyadhu billah. So the fact that a person, he goes and makes Hajj or he makes Umrah and he comes back free from those shackles, free from those chains, not a slave to his desires, rather a slave to his Lord alone. To his Lord alone. Alhamdulillah. Wallahi, this is the blessing of blessing and the favor of favors. To sincerely and truly repent to Allah, to come back clean with no sins, with the fresh slate, ready to be a good Muslim and to strive upon the good way, to be a follower of the Salaf As-Salih, the righteous and pious predecessors, inwardly and outwardly. This is a great, great blessing. So he says, Hafidhullah, fi idha kana qabla hajjihi ubtuliya bil wuqu'i fi shay'in min al-ma'asi. فعليه أن يتوب في حجه توبة نصوحا يقرع فيها عن الذنوب ويندم على ما حصل منه ويعقد العزم في المستقبل على ألا يعود إليها. He says, حفظه الله, that if a person, if he's before making Hajj tried with falling into some actions of disobedience, then it's incumbent for him to repent during his Hajj, a sincere repentance, and that he leaves and refrains from the sins entirely, and that he has remorse from that which occurred from him, from falling into those sins, and that he has strong determination in the future to never return to them, to never return to them. The Shaykh mentioned, حَفِظَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَإِذَا كَانَ الذَّنْبُ يَتَعَالَكُ بِحُقُوقٍ لِلْآدَمِيِّينَ فَعَلَيْهِ أَنْ يُرُدَّهَا إِلَيْهِمْ إِنْ كَانَتْ مَالِيَةً إِذَا كَانُوا لَمْ يَعْفُوهُ مِنْهَا أَوْ يَطْلُبَ مِنْهُمُ الْمُسَامَحَةَ إِذَا كَانَتْ الْإِسَاءَةُ إِلَيْهِمْ فِي إِيذَائِهِمْ بِلِسَانِهِ وَيَدِهِ إِلَّا إِذَا عَلِمَ أَنَّهُ يَتَرَتَّبُ عَلَى إِعْلَامِهِمْ بِذَلِكَ مَفْسَدَةٌ وفرقة وشحناء فيكتفي بطالب المسامحة منهم بألفاظ عامة مع ثناء عليهم بما يليق بهم والدعاء لهم. So the Shaykh, he mentioned, as for if the sin is related to the rights of some of the people, then it's incumbent for him to return that right back to them if it's something financial, if they did not pardon him for that, or he should seek pardon from them for harming them, if he did an injustice to them by harming them with his tongue or with his hand. So if it's the sin is related to the right of a person, if it's financial, he must return those finances back to those whom deserve it. And if it was some injustice that one has performed with his tongue or with his hand, then he must request from them pardon and forgiveness, and that they would forgive him from that and pardon him from that and not hold him to account for that. Unless he knows that if he were to inform them of that deed that he did specifically, that would bring about a greater problem and a greater issue, and it would cause dissension and separation and animosity and hatred. If he thinks that this may occur by informing them that he's the one who harmed them with his tongue or with his hand and the likes like this, then he will suffice with just seeking pardon from them with general words, using general words. And meaning if, for example, he backbit somebody in a gathering before and he feels bad about that and he wants to repent to Allah for that sin, he realizes that this is impermissible and a major sin and something that angers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he hopes for Allah to forgive him. So he must give this right back to that person that he had violated. So if he believes that that person will not become angry or have animosity, that he will accept that from him, then he will tell him, specifically, Afwan akhi, and one time I mentioned you in a bad light and I repent from that, and I'm not like that anymore, and wallahi, you're a good brother, so on and so forth. If he believes that this will not cause a problem, then he should do that. But if he feels like if he were to tell that person what he knows from that individual, that maybe it will cause animosity or rancor or separation or cause him to dislike him even more or to bring about a problem in the likes like this, then he will not tell him specifically that he's the one who took the wealth or that he's the one who backbid him or so on and so forth. Rather, he will seek forgiveness from him in a general manner. Like, for example, saying to his brother that he did an injustice to. And he knows the specific affair, but he doesn't want to say it. He would say to him, you know, barakallahu fikum, sometimes brothers, they do things to each other that they regret and they violate the rights of brotherhood. And if I did that to you, you know, I ask you to forgive me. Yeah, I ask you to forgive me like this in a general manner, to seek his forgiveness in this general way. If one feels like that, maybe telling him specifically will bring about a greater evil. This is what he's referring to here, along with praising that person in a manner that is truthful and correct and supplicating for him. And he making dua for that individual. All of this is from the means of expiating the violation of rights of others, of violating the rights of others, which are major with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَتُعَدَّنَّ الْحُقُوقِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَالظُّلْمُ ظُلُمَاتٌ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. The rights that will be served on the day of resurrection, and injustice and oppression is darknesses on that day. So the author, he says, حَفِيظُهُ اللَّهُ فَيَفْتَحُ لِنَفْسِهِ بِالْحَجِّ بَابَ خَيْرٍ وَيَبْدَأُ حَيَاةً جَدِيدًا مَأْمُورَةً بِتَقْوَى اللَّهِ وَالِاسْتِقَامَةِ عَلَى أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. So in this manner, he will open up for himself by way of this Hajj a door of goodness, and he will begin a new life that is based upon the piety of Allah and steadfastness upon the command of Allah. وَأَمَّا إِذَا كَانَ قَبْلَ الْحَجِّ عَلَى حَالَةٍ سَيِّئَةٍ واستمر عليها بعد الحج فإن ذلك علامة على عدم ظفره ببر الحج. And as for if a person, he was in a bad situation, and he was in a bad situation upon sin and the likes like this, and then he continued after Hajj to be in the same manner, to be in the same way, tried with the same sins, doing the same actions, going to the same lowly places, hanging out with the same lowly people, having the same lowly deeds, tried with the same sins, falling into the same path that is not pleasing to Allah, then this is a sign that he did not obtain the Hajj that is righteous and good, and the Hajj that is accepted. So the author, he says, حَفِيظُهُ اللَّهُ وَالذُّنُوبُ الَّتِي تُكَفِّرُهَا الْأَعْمَالُ الصَّالِحَةُ كَالصَّلَاةِ وَالْحَجِّ وَغَيْرِهَا هِيَ الصَّغَائِرُ. And the sins that are expiated by the righteous deeds, like salah and Hajj, this is in reference to the minor sins. This is in reference to the minor sins. And even we're talking here about returning returning pure like the day a person's mother gave birth to him. Any meaning that all of his sins would be forgiven. And that Hajj, it wipes out all of the sins that occurred before that. The author, he's clarifying now, حَفِيظُهُ اللَّهُ ta'ala, that the sins that are expiated here in general by the general performance of these righteous actions from them, as-salah, and from them, and Hajj, what is in reference here is the minor sins. لِقَوْلِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. Based upon the statement of Allah, the Most High, إِن تَجْتَنِبُوا كَبَائِرَ مَا تُنْهَوْنَ عَنْهُ نُكَفِّرْ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ. If you avoid and stay away from the major sins that you have been forbidden from, then we will expiate from you your minor sins. They will expiate from you your minor sins. وَقَوْلِهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. And also based upon the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as-salawatu al-khamsu wal-jumu'atu ila al-jumu'ah wa ramadanu ila ramadan wa kafiratun ma baynahunna idha ijtunibat al-kaba'ir idha ijtunibat al-kaba'ir. Then the five daily prayers, and from one jumu'ah to the next jumu'ah, and from one ramadan to the next ramadan, these deeds here are expiators for that which occurred between them, so long as the major sins are avoided, so long as the major sins are avoided. Rawahu Muslim, narrated by Muslim, and Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu. Wa amma al-kaba'ir fa inna alladhi yukaffiruha huwa at-tawbatu minha. And as for the major sins, and that which expiates them is repenting from them. So to just make Hajj or to just pray the daily prayers and the likes like this will not expiate the major sins. It will expiate the minor sins. As for the major sins, then this requires a specific expiation, and that is to repent from them. But the one who, in general, he performs the Hajj properly and correctly, then almost guaranteed that he will repent sometime during that Hajj, if not more than one time. if not more than one time on that journey. He will be guided to repent from all of his sins in the performance of those actions. And likewise, the one who prays properly and establishes the Jumu'ah property, he's given success throughout his life many times. Yani to sincerely repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he'll be guided to make this sincere repentance. And these actions will be a means for his heart to soften and for him to remember his sins and the greatness of his Lord and to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The point is that the major sins, they require a specific type of repentance. We continue tomorrow, inshaAllah. Hada wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.